You asked for it, Mike.
Oh,
you asked
gosh.
For new music.
Yeah.
Last week you were giving Pete such a hard time.
I expect like a basketball team rollout right now. Yeah.
It's the best game in town.
6-2 from a crummy small university. Mike Fouché.
Mike Fouché from the Daily Line in studio as he is every Wednesday night. Good to see you. You got a lot to talk about tonight.
Good to be here.
Just breaking news right now. The governing board of the Chicago Teachers Union has authorized a strike vote that would happen between September 21st and 23rd. Mike, what does this mean?
It means they're going to take their time in order to figure some things out and basically let negotiations continue. I mean, that's really the long and the short of it. It's a bunch of chest thumping, and you know, we've got our standards and our priorities, and they're just going to let the process
so
continue.
Because if they truly were set on striking, they would authorize a vote for this weekend. Or
yeah.
is that what you
yeah.
mean? By
yeah.
the idea of pushing it a couple weeks down the line, it means that, yes, we're serious, but we could avoid this. We could all avoid
right.
this if we get back to the bargaining
right.
table.
I mean, there is – I think that ultimately there's really no hunger for a strike among teachers now. And, you know, the fact that there are all these different things that the city has to pay, and we're going to talk in a minute about some of those
yeah.
things. There's more taxes on other stuff. The reality is the teachers union – There's not a lot of sympathy among people in the city. You know, oh yeah, I guess I got to pay more for the teachers. Nobody wants that.
That being said, it was the same sentiment that we had a couple months ago when the offer was given to the teachers union, delegation, and they rejected it.
Yeah.
So to think that we know exactly how the teachers are going to vote, we may be mistaken in the sense that Rob was just telling me the stats, and don't quote me on this, but the idea of 75% of the delegation the union delegation has to vote, and it's a majority of that vote.
Yes, correct.
That will determine whether or not they all go on strike.
Correct. I don't think it'll be hard for them to get that 75% of the teachers to vote. I mean, you know, I know plenty of teachers. I have some in my family, and you know, there's a lot of cohesiveness among the teachers and the teachers union, and they're all. I think they all want to stick together. And I think that there is also still a very anti-Forrest Claypool sentiment. I don't know what else to call it. Anti-Forrest Claypool, anti-Rahm Emanuel sentiment within the teachers union that is beyond whatever Karen Lewis is doing. And I think that she has to work to try and negotiate things within her union, not only just with the city.
You know, for her, I mean, she went on yesterday. They kind of, that was the big storyline to back to school for Chicago Public Schools.
Right.
But it really was about this strike authorization. Karen Lewis spoke and she talked about something we've been talking about for months, which I thought was hilarious, where she said, everything's fine. It's amicable. We're doing fine. It only gets out of whack when Forrest Claypool goes in front of the news cameras and causes all this acrimony. She essentially called out that it seems to be great behind closed doors or getting places, but when we're talking to the media, CPS puts on a different face.
You know, I don't know what I – fine. But, you know, we had this great interview with her that was on our podcast a couple of weeks ago where she – one of our reporters asked, so, you know, what exactly do you have to say to what Forrest Claypool says? And she says, well, you know, he talks crazy to us and we talk crazy to him. You know, that doesn't sound like love and kisses, right? So, you know, it's hard to say. I think they're all over the place. And, you know, I think that the teachers union is in a tough spot.
Let me ask you this, because obviously it's been well documented that the Chicago Public Schools needs to cut from this budget anywhere from $80 to $130 million, right? Somewhere
right.
in that vicinity. So they have to do that. Now, they said it's going to be either in teacher salaries, teacher layoffs, or it could be in the pension pickup.
Right.
That's what they're playing with. I mean, is there any scenario in which any of those things, I mean, we know that they need to get to that cut. What can they give to teachers that will get that cut and at the same time get the teachers in the classroom?
Well, I think that there's a lot of details, you know, one of which is that teachers being hired today won't make nearly as much money as others at this point, which is really hard for people that have big student loans. You know, I've read that there's a certain subset of teachers that are not moving at the same rate of payment as others. I think that there's a lot of bitterness and anger. This last round of layoffs A lot of very high quality experienced teachers were laid off. You know, there's plenty of stories hitting. WBZ had a great piece about an award winning teacher that was laid off. And the way he was laid off was incredibly callously, you know, over the phone. In fact, he had been laid off once before. And he said that CPS made a mistake and they called his mom and laid his mom off. And she doesn't even work for CPS, you know. So I think that there's a lot of these kind of things that CPS could do in order to improve matters. I think there's a lot of details that they could probably put together in a package in order to say, look, you know, we're not going to be doofuses anymore. We're going to, you know, make some more parity among teachers and so that everybody's moving on the same track.
The teachers are aware that they need to be able to get this budget down to 80, 130 million that they've been talking about. Teachers are aware of that. They see the numbers. They know it. Do they contend that that is a truth? Or do they say, you know what, take the more of the moniker that Chicago's not broke, that's not the right numbers, that you're asking us to cut?
We're not hearing that anymore, are we?
Yeah.
We're not hearing Chicago's not broke anymore. I think that that's significant. And I think that a year ago, what we saw was the teachers union would go have a protest yelling, the city's not broke, broke on purpose. And we're not hearing that anymore. And I think that's significant. I mean, there's a certain amount of criminology here. You know, we have to figure out what it is that they mean by watching their actions more than anything else. But I think that's important.
And it's also important, and the one thing we've talked about, which is starting to bubble up a little bit, is that some of the money that was promised to Chicago Public Schools from Springfield, from the temporary stopgap budget,
right,
had to do with making sure you got concessions from the union.
Right.
This is, I mean, that money, it's $200 million or so that they've already budgeted and said that's in.
Yeah, right.
And then they need to get concessions too. Is that on the line? Is that something that is shaky
at
this point?
But I think that's on everybody's plate. It's not just the teachers. I mean, the teachers know, you know, the classrooms have been cut back to the bone. You know, my own son's classroom is really big. I think this is throughout the whole city. Everybody knows about it. So, you know, the CPS losing the $215 million from Springfield promised pending, you know, pension reform, that sword is not dangling just over Forrest Claypool's head. I think it's dangling over Karen Lewis's head, too.
Mike Fouché from The Daily Line with us here every Wednesday. Let's take a quick break and come back. One issue that's playing out is this is a really strong lobby. It's almost back to business for aldermen and city council.
Yeah.
The month of September here, Mayor Emanuel really pushing and lobbying for the water sewer tax we've been talking about here. Let's get to that after the break because that's going to have some tax implications as well.
I am stoked. I can't wait.
Mike Fouché, Daily Line in studio here on the download, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Okay, so we just talked about this authorization strike. Rob Martier will have more about that story coming up at the 8 o'clock news. But let's transition to what's going to happen this week. Mayor Rahm Emanuel pushing hard for the water sewer tax. This is something he proposed earlier this summer, maybe in the August.
And so that's just the pay. So this is part of one of the many, many giant, huge, unfunded pension liabilities that we have. You know, we have a whole bunch of different pensions, one for teachers, one for police officers, one for firefighters, one for laborers, you know, those guys digging the ditches for your water pipes, and then one for municipal employees, which is basically everybody else. And that's actually the biggest one of them all. And that is hugely unfunded. It's down to like 18-20% funded of the total liability that it needs to come up with. And so they've got to come up with billions, $18.7 billion in order to fund it. And so one of the schemes that they have is that they're going to create this water sewer tax, which is going to be more money to put in. And the water sewer tax is going to probably end up costing each household, and it's going to ramp up over time, and it's going to end up costing each household between $200 and $250 a year more than what you're currently paying.
Yep.
Which is going to be, so the city's going to get about $55 million in the first year, and by the fifth year, they're going to get about $240 million more. Doesn't that sound great? But the problem is that they need to be putting in billions of dollars.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's hundreds of millions. We're talking about billions here.
And so today, the mayor's budget office sort of, they didn't really tell anybody this plan. They sent an email to aldermen. So tomorrow is the big vote on the water sewer tax. And that's really the nut of this whole thing, right?
Do you see or can you forecast a moment where aldermen take a step against the mayor and say, we don't want this? They're going to vote for it.
Has there ever been a case in aldermanic history that they're going to vote for the water sewer tax, but there's this much bigger pension plan that they're all going to have to commit to sometime soon. And so the pension plan is going to be, it's going to start where we're going to be paying in about, you know, $350 million a year. But then over 40 years, eventually by 2057, I just can't just say it. In 2057, we're going to be paying in $2 billion a year just for this one pension fund. Forget everybody else. That's the mayor's math.
That's the mayor saying this is how we're going to do it.
Yes, yes.
So essentially, as you know, I've only been doing the download here on WGN for a year plus, year change. But when we first started and there was no budget and there was all this kind of stuff, there was all this talk around the phrase governing by kicking the can down the road.
And so you look at it and there's a slope.
Sounds familiar.
Right? There's a slope and it increases bigger and bigger and bigger. And the way that you can change the slope is by potentially putting in more money earlier. And so if you put in more money now, you'll have to put in a lot less later. It's sort of like your mortgage. You know, when you get a mortgage on your house, you can either do 30 years or you can do a 40-year mortgage. And when you do a 40-year mortgage, you end up paying more for a longer period of time. Or if you're really smart, maybe you have some extra cash and you make extra payments early on in your mortgage. And that means that your mortgage will end sooner. It's the exact same thing with the pension.
Now, governments, it just seems over and over and over, mayors change, governors change, but it seems to be the same concept of governing. Right now, politically speaking, it is not advantageous for me right now to say we need to pay more.
Right.
So we're just going to trickle it out as least as we can until I'm retired.
Right.
and then it's going to jack up for the next person.
And so really what we're looking at is that, you know, in 6 or 7 years, we're going to have a crushing amount of payments for pension funds. And we're talking like we'll be putting in $2-3 billion a year into pension funds.
Okay, so I have to ask a question. How do you stop that from happening? Is that an inevitable? Should we be starting our bunkers now?
You bite the bullet. And, you know, if we were able to jack up the payments today, and this is terrible politics, but, you know, it's prudent. If you were to jack up the payments and, you know, put in a lot of money today, if you were able to make a $1 billion payment today, that would mean much, much smaller payments.
What's going to get you $1 billion today? A sewer water tax, you just told us, is only $250 per year. That's not going to cut it because you're talking about
property tax increases. I mean, that's basically the deal.
Didn't property tax increases?
Yeah, they did. But, you know, still Chicago, and I know everybody complains about Chicago property taxes, but if you look at Chicago property taxes and compare them to property taxes in other places around the state, they're still pretty low.
Oh, you're killing me here, Mike.
I mean, you know, you look at property taxes not just for places on the North Shore, but you look at property taxes at places like Berwyn or, you know, Forest Park or Oaklawn. You know, those places have relatively high property taxes for the property value. And, you know, the city of Chicago is nowhere near it. We're still getting a great deal. We're not paying in nearly as
much
as
other places. That's amazing to hear. But I will say that it takes political will to be able to do that. Rahm Emanuel has put his neck out in the sense that he has done the biggest property tax increase in Chicago history.
Yeah.
How can he go back to the bank and ask for more without essentially eliminating his political career?
I don't know. You know, and
does
so,
it come from a different municipal body? Can it be Springfield that says we're going to do income tax?
Runner has said no, he'll never do anything like that. He would never raise taxes. Springfield is completely locked down in terms of being able to raise taxes. There's nothing that the state will do. Essentially, it has to come from the mayor and the city council. And what is kind of amazing that's going on is that every year there's more and more property taxes. And I think aldermen are really beginning to understand that we are truly kicking the can down the road. They didn't really understand a year ago, but I think they do now. I don't know that they necessarily have the will to say, no, raise more taxes.
We've had these conversations about violence, other social ills that we're dealing with. Is there any way to shift the paradigm, to think differently, to say, okay, what if we every other year had a huge tax burden, but not the next, you know, like things that just changed it up that said, yes, as a city of Chicago being one of the biggest cities in this country, we're not paying our fair share, which is hard to believe, but we're not. But let's figure out how to do that. That doesn't just, you know, sort of flip the switch. It's an extra $500 on your bill. Deal with it.
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, I worked for a number of really bright economists for a while, and you know, an economist, they would say, well, if you're thinking from the perspective of an economist, they would say that having all these taxes spread over all these different funds is really not good from an economics point of view, because it's not predictable to the average person. It's very complex and difficult. You know, well, how much am I paying on water? How much am I paying on my emergency 911 system? How much am I paying in property taxes? And if you could lump it all into one single thing, it becomes more predictable and understandable to the average taxpayer. And so then they can make a mental judgment for themselves how much they should be, what is fair and what's not fair. We really don't know it's fair, because you have to look at this giant aggregation of all these different things, and it's incredibly complicated. The average guy doesn't want to have to look at all that and try and figure out what it is.
Mike Fouché from the Daily Line, you got a big event coming up here.
That's
right. Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Tell me about it.
WGN is actually sponsoring it at the Hotel Monaco at 6 o'clock. We're kicking it off. We've got a number of people we're going to talk about. Your favorite topic is the Chicago fiscal crisis over. It's going to be great. We're going to have some folks from the Center of Tax and Budget Authority that are going to come and talk. We're going to have some folks from some trade associations that really know stuff that are going on in the city, the Chamber of Commerce and the Realtors Association, and then also the Back of the Yards Neighborhood Association. Craig Chico, he's going to come. He's a terrific guy. They're the original community organizing group created by Saul Alinsky. So we're going to have a lot of different perspectives talking about what's really going on in the city fiscal
crisis. Next Tuesday, the
13th,
right?
Next Tuesday at the Hotel Monaco on Wacker and Wabash. WGN is sponsoring, so we're pretty excited about
that,
too.
There you go. Mike Fouché, The Daily Line, here every Wednesday night. Mike, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks.